This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. Today on the show, I have with me Indian classical dancer Navi Indran Pillai. Navi is also a cancer survivor who is still undergoing cancer treatment, which she will need for the rest of her life. So to raise funds for her own treatment, Navi is putting on her debut solo Bharatanatyam show called Dhanvantrim Nrityam, Kissed by Cancer. And that's happening this Saturday on the 12th of October. So if you do have thoughts that you'd like to share with Navi or questions about her show, you can tweet us at BFM Radio, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can call us at 03-7733-2900. Welcome to the show, Navi.
Hi.
So tell me about yourself. What do you do? How long have you been an Indian classical dancer?
Okay, so I've been an Indian classical dancer all my life. I think I was exposed to it ever since I was like 2 years old. Mm-hmm. I am an engineer by profession. I've completed my master's in project management. I'm currently working as the volunteer coordinator in National Cancer Society Malaysia. And yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
So you're 28 years old?
Yes, I'm turning 29 tomorrow, actually.
Oh, wow. Well, happy birthday in advance.
Thank you.
So you were first diagnosed with breast cancer.
Correct.
6 years ago.
Yeah.
What was that experience like for you?
I was diagnosed at the age of 22. Mm. So for me, at that point of time, it was not so much because I didn't know about cancer. I never thought that, you know, someone so young could get such a disease. But, you know, you see it in the movies, but you don't expect it to happen to you.
Sure.
Yeah. We've been exposed to these kind of movies a lot, like, you know, The Walk to Remember, mm-hmm. A Walk to Remember and things like that. But you don't expect it to happen. And when it does, it's kind of like a mixed feeling because you don't understand what's happening. You don't know the severity of cancer treatments and how the side effects affect you more than compared to cancer itself because of the treatments. The treatments are really, really strong. It's cytotoxic drugs. So I think at that point of time, the first time around, I was more I was unsure of how to accept the news, but I would say I was much more in shock than sad. Mm. But yeah, of course, the sadness also kicked in after, you know, looking at my parents and you know, seeing that, you know, they don't even know what this disease is. But yeah, I mean, a human being, so yeah. I was a bit shocked and sad.
You were 22, and I believe you had just graduated.
Yes, I just graduated from
my
degree.
So what happened? You had to sort of put your life on hold and your plans on hold,
yep.
And basically get treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you? What kind of treatment did you have to go through?
Okay, so I had to go through surgeries, some number of surgeries, and then I went through chemotherapy. Radiotherapy, hormone therapy, targeted therapy, and yeah, that's pretty much what happened the first round.
And how long was that for?
I would say hormone therapy was for about 5 years that I was going through. 5 years. Chemotherapy was about 4 or 5 months that I had to go through it because it's 6 cycles and it was every 3 weeks, so it's about like 4 or 5 months. The targeted therapy was about a year and radiotherapy was about like a month and it was every day. So radiation was like every day for about a month plus.
And I think, was it in 2015 that that round of treatments and everything sort of came to an end and you were declared to be cancer-free?
The whole idea of cancer-free, actually, it's supposed to be 5 years without it coming back. So I probably made a mistake, you mm-hmm. know, here and there because I'm still being, you know, I'm still learning
of course,
about this
yeah.
whole process. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not an expert in it, but I'm trying to educate others at the same time. I'm trying to learn as much as I can. So the term cancer-free comes when you are actually, you know, 5 years completed your, you know, after finishing your treatments.
Right.
And then that
and the cancer doesn't recur.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then you're cancer free.
Yeah. So at that point, though, you went back to work. You started working, rather.
So I'm kind of like a goal-getter mm-hmm. person. I
can tell.
So I did not. I even when I was going through chemo the first round, I was working part time. I would try and go out there, and I was so much trying to lead a normal lifestyle. I just wanted to be like any other human being, and I hated the fact that I was incapable of doing so much because I was tired, but I would push myself. So I would say that I returned to work. I worked as an engineer for about a year and a half. So I worked from early 2014 till mid 2015.
Mm-hmm. Was that here in Malaysia?
Yes, mm. Yes, in an engineering company. So I would say that I pushed myself, and but when I would get tired, I would stop. I would rest. But the other days, I would just keep going.
And subsequently, you moved to Melbourne for a while, I believe.
Yeah. So I went to Melbourne in mid 2015 to complete my master's in project management. I decided to migrate actually, because I always had that dream of living abroad. So I wanted to experience, being on my own. And I hated being dependent on my family. I tried my level best to be as independent as I can. I am still trying. Mm-hmm. So I decided the only way my parents are going to let me go, and I don't even know how they were convinced to let me go so far away, was for me to, I guess I did emotional blackmail. I think
it's a right of most children to do that.
I was like, no, you let me go. So I decided to go because I just wanted, my parents to have that happiness that I'm living a normal lifestyle and that their child is normal. And I wanted them to feel as normal as possible. Mm. So I was like, no, I'm going to do this on my own. And I have to do this on my own.
So you were in Melbourne until last year, right? And then that was when you discovered that the cancer had returned.
So actually, the real story is, so I came back to Malaysia for about a month, just for a holiday, just before I transitioned from temporary residency to my permanent residency. Mm. So when you're having that transition, you will be on bridging visa. So I couldn't come back during that time. I couldn't leave Australia. So I thought of coming back, going for a little holiday with my parents and things like that. At the same time, do my routine checkup. So I got my routine checkup, and that's when I actually found out. So I actually had no idea.
Right.
It was like a sudden thing that happened.
And what was the diagnosis, when you found out last year? What did you find out?
Okay, so my diagnosis was metastasis. It's like a tongue twister, man.
Metastatic?
Yeah.
Metastatic breast cancer.
Yeah. Which had spread to my liver and my backbone. Mm. So which was stage 4 breast cancer. So that was my diagnosis at that point of time.
Was that difficult to hear that, you had sort of gone on, you started building a life? What was that experience like?
So it was like, it was really disappointing for me, I think, because, you beat it once and you thought that, you had this whole plan of like, okay, you're going to live abroad, you're going to work. I even started working in Australia. So, all that had to come to a stop. But I try to look at it in a more positive note. I feel that, perhaps this is my purpose. This is what I have to do for society and for myself and for my family, is to help more and more people, more and more women and young adults who have been diagnosed with critical illnesses to mm-hmm. live their life. So I take it in a very positive way, positive note.
Mm-hmm. How big a change has this second, the second time of finding out that the cancer had come back, how much has it changed your life?
A tremendous, I think it's 360 degrees. Because I never wanted, it was not something that I wanted to tell people about, something to go out in public. And on my social media, I'm like, all out there, and I'm putting out my stories and things like that. It, it's something very, you know, it's something very new for me and my family, because I'm walking down the street, someone might, you know, just come up to me and be like, oh my God, you're Navi Indran Pillai. So I'm like, yes, I am, you know. And it's a very different feeling. But I know that the reason I'm doing this is to help more and more people as I can. I wish I could financially, because, you know, cancer treatments are really expensive. But as for now, I can't. But I would love to if I could. So if I can support them mentally, physically and emotionally, that's help. That still help. So I'm doing that as much as I can.
So this sort of social media documenting of your cancer journey, you started that last year after your second diagnosis.
Correct.
And you used this hashtag kissed by cancer, right? I was very intrigued because it's a very positive hashtag.
Yeah.
And just tell me about what the thought process was behind that.
So honestly, I was just lying down on my couch feeling extremely exhausted one day. And I remember my dad was making something in the kitchen and it smelled good. And I was lying down on the couch and it just hit me like lightning, you know, like I just wanted to create something. And I needed to move people. I needed to get them to look at something seen so negatively. You know, cancer, when you're diagnosed, it's people think it's death sentence, you know, it's your time is coming up. But I didn't want that for people to understand how, you know, cancer is so much more than just a death sentence. It's not. It's actually a way for you to realize that, hey, you know, you can live life after cancer. And I'm a strong believer and strong advocate for life after cancer. So the reason why I thought about kissed by cancer was it's because for me, I feel cancer is just like another flu.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know what? It just came to my head, kissed by cancer.
I'm just thinking that must take quite a bit of strength to be able to look at it that way.
To an extent, yes. But I feel that if we all look at things more positively, I think we will succeed more and we will appreciate more.
You are in remission now?
Yeah.
But you will still need treatment. And that's correct. Why you're putting on this show, right?
Yes, to help my parents.
Right. So we do need to take a quick break. But when we come back, I would love to hear more about the dance show that you're putting on.
Awesome.
And as well as what the money will be going towards.
Yeah.
I'm speaking with Indian classical dancer and cancer survivor Navi Indran Pillai about her dance show called Dhanvantrim Nrityam, Kissed by Cancer. That's happening this Saturday, the 12th of October. And the show is a fundraiser for her own cancer treatment, which Navi will be needing for the rest of her life. So we'll be back after a short break. And if you'd like to get in touch in the meantime, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900. You're listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. I'm speaking with Navi Indran Pillai, who is an Indian classical dancer and cancer survivor. She's presenting her first solo Bharatanatyam show this Saturday, the 12th of October, and it is a fundraiser for her own lifelong cancer treatment. So if you have any questions or thoughts about Navi's show or about her journey, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or you can call us at 03-7733-2900. So Navi, before the break, you were telling us a little bit about the days leading up to being diagnosed and how you sort of used the social media platform, not just to deal with what you were going through, but to also create a form of support for other cancer survivors out there. I'm curious about what that's like to put out this journey that's really quite private on such a visible platform. You know, was that something you thought about and maybe had some amount of doubt?
I did not have any doubt. Mm. I actually wanted to do this during my first diagnosis. However, I, you know, had to respect my parents, as, you know, they did not want me to go forward, and I totally respected that. But the second time around, I think for my parents, it's more for, you know, it's for me, how I'm going to cope. And this is how I coped with my diagnosis. Mm. And that's when they were very supportive and they immediately said, you know what, you need to do things that will help you cope. And as much as, you know, they have been, you know, supporting me and things like that, I needed to support myself. And I decided that in a way, I needed to help people more, and that's how I gained my support. And I think that, you know, whenever I posted up something on social media, and the response that I get from social media is amazing.
So this is Instagram, right?
Yeah, I'm very much more active on Instagram.
Yeah. And you, your Instagram handle is?
Navi Indran Pillai.
Right, and people can follow that to get updates on your journey.
Yeah.
Yep. And tell me about your family, actually. What has their role in all this been?
They have been so amazing. So I've got mom, my dad, my sister, my brother-in-law, my godmom, my best friends, my really good friends. I have so much support. I would consider my friends like my family. And I have, you know, nothing but utmost respect, especially for my mom. I think like she's one of the strongest person I have known and met. And I'm so glad she's my mom. But yeah, I mean, overall, they have been amazing at supporting me. And the moment I said I wanted to do this dance show, and then they were like, yeah, you know, and they've been 100% on board. And, you know, anything that I wanted, anything that I needed support with, they would immediately jump on board. Coming up on radios and TVs, and they would be like telling their friends, like, okay, you know, she's going to be on air. And it's so amazing because they have been my emotional support, my financial support, my physical support. And I think they have seen the worst of me, you know, and they can understand. And that's why, you know, I really appreciate them being my family.
So we have a WhatsApp that has come in from Shalini, and she says, Navi sounds like a wonderful young woman and I wish her nothing but good health and happiness. She wants to know if there was a time when you felt really down and out, and what did you say to yourself or do to pull yourself up?
Actually, I actually really felt down yesterday, and I actually posted it up on my Instagram, and I used to have really long, beautiful hair. And I really missed it, and I was, you know, it was really quite bummed out yesterday. But I only tell myself that I'm human, I'm allowed to feel down, and it's about me picking myself up the next day. Because I know that there's light at the end of the tunnel. And I tell myself that tomorrow it's going to be a better day. It's only going to get better. And that's what I tell myself. And I appreciate myself. I love myself. And I say, good job, because you got through today.
Indeed. I think that's something everyone should learn to say to themselves.
And not stop beating, you know, don't beat yourself up too much.
Yeah. So this dance show, is it part of making yourself feel better about yourself and wanting to sort of go out and do something?
Dance is actually something that I've always loved. It's my passion. I've always loved dancing ever since I think I was like two. I would be just dancing, you know, as you know, when the song comes on in any functions, I'll be the first one dancing there. So, and this might, I tell you, my family would tell you stories about it, embarrassing stories. I kid you not. Dance has always been in me. And when I had to stop dancing because of my treatments, I felt miserable. But a couple of months back when I started my vigorous training with my guru, I forgot that I was sick. I forgot that I had cancer, you know, and I'm going through cancer treatments. And my teacher would say, I don't know where she got her energy from. Like, she would just be dancing. I would even forget to eat because I would be just dancing and dancing. And if that day I didn't dance, it would feel like something's not right. And that's when I actually knew and realized how much dance means to me, that I can even forget to eat because I love food and I'm the type of person that I need food. But the moment I dance, I don't need food. I just need to dance. I just want to dance. So,
are there not physical challenges with continuing to dance while undergoing treatment?
Yeah, there is. And, you know, there are a few, actually. You know, you have body aches, you feel tired, your stamina is low. But I feel like that's good pain. I don't know. I try and look at the good in everything. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's good pain. I always have, like, you know, my feet will start, because you stamp your feet, so your feet will start to ache and things like that. But I feel like I feel satisfied at the end. You know, it's like a workout.
It's what you love to do.
Yeah. So when it hurts, it's the good pain. You're like, yeah, I did well today.
Mm-hmm. So. And so you've taken this thing that you love and you're creating a show.
Yes.
And it's a fundraiser.
Correct.
Now, what prompted you to want to do a fundraiser in the first place? You mentioned that your treatment is going to be lifelong. What kind of financial effect is that having on you and your family?
Okay, so I have to go through targeted therapy for an indefinite amount of time. So I'm guessing it's lifelong. It's 15,000 ringgit, including hospital bills. And I can't get this in the government sector. So I have to do it privately.
Right. It's 15,000 ringgit per session?
Yes.
Right.
And every 3 weeks.
Right. Okay.
So, and I knew that, my parents have been supporting me financially. I've got my insurance coverage. However, it's depleting soon. And I thought to myself that I needed to assist and help my parents because I am old enough to be able to, help them monetary and stuff. But that amount of money, that's a bit more difficult for me. My parents have it all figured it out and stuff. But I thought as a daughter, I would want to help them. And what way I could help them is by doing a show. Mm-hmm. And since I love dancing, and I thought, why not do a fundraising show to assist my family and I to fund for my treatments.
So that show is happening this Saturday, the 12th of October.
Yeah.
And the name of the show is?
Danvendrim Nityam.
I got to say it because I knew I was not going to be
My teacher's just going to be like, oh my God, she just only killed it.
But what does it mean?
It's Nityam means dance and Danvendrim means god of medicine. It's how dance and medicine combine and how it's healing me. Mm-hmm. And it has healed me. And I think the name, when my teacher told me, she immediately just texted me one day when I decided to do the show, and then she said that I want it to be called this. And then I said, wow, that's amazing. And that's how, for me, medicine and dance really plays a huge role right now. Mm-hmm. So.
And is the, are the dances that you're going to be performing, how did you pick what the pieces were? Do they relate to your own experiences?
So my teacher and the violinist, he and my teacher composed a few songs. And the words that she wrote, which is amazing, by the way, it's something that has to do with dance, me and medicine, and how I am and everything. So it really worked so well. And she really just wrote it just by closing her eyes, thinking about me, and she just wrote. And he just, came up with this amazing composition, and it all just gelled together. And some of the pieces were really, really close to my heart. So that's why I'm dancing it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
It's a Bharatanatyam show, right?
Correct.
And how many pieces will you be performing?
I think 5+ pieces.
Do you want to tell us about the kinds of dance, kind of pieces they are?
It's more like a story. It's more towards talking about God and, their forms and things like that. But more so, it's just me dancing as a human being, trying to tell stories with my facial expressions and my dance movements and my leg movements, hand movements.
You keep mentioning your teacher, and I'm actually really curious to hear about your relationship with her. Your teacher's name is Guruvayur Usha Dore.
Yes.
How long have you been learning with her, and what was her role in you both putting on the show and this journey that you've come on?
So I've known, I'll call her Usha teacher. So I've known Usha teacher ever since I was in my mom's belly, I think. I could be wrong, but ever since I was a child, she knew me, she knew my mom, she knew my whole family. I was with the Temple of Fine Arts, and she was in Temple of Fine Arts as well. And then she opened up her own school in 2003. I joined her in 2004, completed my Arangetram, which is my dance graduation, in 2008. So, and then up till now. So probably about 14, 15 mm-hmm. years.
And how did she react when you came back to dancing?
Oh my God. I could just see the joy in her eyes because she would tell you stories about me actually just disturbing her classes when she was teaching in fine arts. Yeah. So I would just come in and, you know, start laughing and kidding around with her and I would just disrupt her whole class. Mm. And I was that student. the kind where people would be like, you know, you just couldn't miss me. I was that loud, talkative, noisy person. That was me. So she lit up like she was so happy, and I'm sure she was really devastated the moment she heard. She couldn't even come and see me because she just could not, you know. And some people just, you know, have their own time to come to terms with it, and I totally respect it. And but when I came back, she was like, oh my God, you know, she just knew like I got this. Which is amazing. She's been a huge support.
What is it like for you to come back to the stage after how many years has it been?
I think 6-7
years. Yeah. So what's that like?
I'm excited. I am nervous. I really hope I make everyone proud. That's all.
We've got someone WhatsApping in to say she sounds so positive, wishing her all the best.
Thank you.
But I'm also curious about, as someone who is a cancer survivor, who's someone who's undergoing treatment, what does having something like dance in your life do at this moment?
It varies for different people. So some people look at art the way I look at dance.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Some people look at singing the way I look at dance. Mm-hmm. It can be anything, reading, writing, singing. For me, I think that if we have something that takes our mind and soul away from our body, I think that's just it. It does it for us, you know, that heals us. I mean, there's only so much medicinal can do. There's only so much support and love from from family and friends. I think your love and for your passion, the love for yourself, your well-being is very much more important than these other things. And find that and pursue it. That's my advice. Because it takes you to a different place.
And what do you, what do you hope to say to other people who may be going on similar journeys to you, other cancer survivors, or even people who are going through difficult times, by putting yourself on a stage, by putting on a show? What do you hope to say?
Pursue your dreams, do what you love, and show the world what you're capable of doing. Because when you do that, people get inspired. And that's what we are supposed to be doing. We're supposed to inspire and help other people. And that's what I'm doing on social media. I think a lot of people use the platform wrongly. I mean, there's so much negative and hate in social media at this point of time. And I think that a lot of us need to start, you know, using this platform, because this is an amazing platform, and use it to uplift other people who are going through similar journeys, who's having a setback in their life, and to tell them that, you know, despite whatever setbacks that you're going through, pursue your dreams, be happy, be positive, and be thankful that each day you're alive and you get to see the world.
And what comes next for you after this dance show?
I really, really hope that I can do more talks, more events, to inspire more people, to uplift them, to tell them that there's hope, and to believe in themselves, and to just be happy and live for today.
What a lovely note to end on. Thank you so much, Navi.
Thank you.
And all the best with your show. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun for everyone.
I hope so, but yeah, let's see.
Well, I've been speaking with Bharatanatyam dancer Navi Indran Pillai, who is a cancer survivor, and she's still undergoing treatment that she will need for the rest of her life. So she's putting on a debut solo dance show this weekend to raise funds for her own treatment. The show is called Dhanvantri Nrityam, Kissed by Cancer, and it's happening this Saturday, Saturday, the 12th of October at the Temple of Fine Arts. Tickets are priced from 30 ringgit to 100 ringgit and are available on AirAsiaRedTix.com. So if you've missed any part of this interview or any previous Front Row segments, you can download the podcasts on BFM.my, on our BFM app or on Spotify. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to BFM.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.